Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Thanks for hanging out with us on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Steven Cerda with you. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll take a look at last night's World Series some more. Of course, the Dodgers were crowned, but that's like the third most important story essentially out of that one. Kevin Cash, analytics. Well, people are out today all over the analytics and for good reason, and certainly what occurred.
It's numbers didn't do anything.
Well, that's who's got the analytics is getting attacked today. Your analytics, Cody, are being attacked today.
Because Cash is an idiot?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, okay.
And, of course, Justin Turner gets pulled from a game, and we find out in postgame that he actually tested positive for COVID. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. But it is a Wednesday, and that means we got to talk to our guy, Josh Klingler, of course, from Fesco in the Morning here on 610, and the Chiefs sideline reporter for the Chiefs Radio Network. You can hear him Sunday at noon kickoff against the Jets over on our sister station, 106.5 The Wolf. Kling, good to have you on the show again. We were talking at the end of last hour a little bit about just how bad this Jets football team is, and I know the team, if you're Kansas City, you've got to find a way to get up for an opponent that hasn't won a game this year, but we were comparing this 2020 Jets team and trying to find a Chiefs team from the past that we viewed as terrible, historic, we still think could beat the Jets. We landed today at least on the 08 Chiefs that were 2-14, led by Tyler Thigpen. And you look at the roster, Tony G, Larry Johnson, Jamal Charles, Derek Johnson on defense. We think that 08 Chiefs team would still easily beat these Jets.
The Jets scored two offensive touchdowns in week one, and that's their season high. So, and they're like 32nd in every offensive category. So, no, I'd take that Chiefs team, even with running Thigbone.
I don't think they'd have any way to stop him. He'd just be too dynamic for their defense.
Yeah, and then they can't score. So, I mean, teams try to score with this year's edition of the Chiefs, right? And think they can do that. And you look at the Jets, they're like, boy, I just don't see how you're going to get any points. This Jets team's pretty gross.
And obviously I know that the team has to find some way to take themselves seriously. So Andy Reid said the things you would expect him to say today, like, they're a great team. They're well coached. Mahomes said, if you watch them on tape, this will be the case. But this really is one of those get right games. The reason why we assume Sammy Watkins and Mitchell Schwartz still aren't practicing and they're not going to rush those guys back. Do you think if these games mattered more, we would have seen the return of some of those players sooner? Or is this about getting to the bye week? Do you expect to see any of them against the Panthers maybe next week, Kling?
Yeah, I'd just get them both of the bye week at this point because, yeah, this is kind of the cruise control portion of your schedule. And really the only key is not getting anybody banged up and then, you know, trying to find some consistency and just playing, don't play to the level of your opponent for a couple of weeks, right? Get out and hopefully track meet a couple of teams and get it that way because I wouldn't rush either one of those two back. A back injury, you know, that can linger on for a long, long time. And, you know, if he's hurt to the extent that he ended his starting streak and didn't play in a game and all those things, you know, Mitchell Schwartz really is banged up. So go ahead and take time with that. And then I guess Sammy Watkins, just based on the injury history, I wouldn't, you know, look at rushing him back whatsoever because you're still going to need him down the stretch in the tail end of the season, and he's been good in the playoffs as well. So I wouldn't rush him back either. But yeah, it's tuning out. You know, if you're tuning out everybody else when things are going well, you should really want to tune things out this week, because there's not a lot of people saying a lot of anything decent at all about the Jets' chances. And so you have to completely brainwash this team to make them believe that they're a team that can come in to Arrowhead Stadium and beat you. You've got the Le'Veon Bell factor. He wants some revenge. I think you could ride that if you're the rest of the Chiefs. You can go with the Raiders embarrassed you at home the last time you were at Arrowhead Stadium as kind of a mantra this week. So I'm drumming up all the fake ammunition that you can get to try to get through this one this week and hopefully go out and don't play to their level. Maybe also you look at last week and just say, hey, you believe the Bills were good when you played them, and then this team went out and played with the Bills for the most part, as something you could use as well. So anything you have to manufacture to get this team up, because we know that the name on the front of the jersey is not going to scare anybody in that Chiefs locker room.
You had mentioned, you know, playing down to the competition. I looked at the rest of the Chiefs schedule. We'd asked ourselves a question yesterday about, you know, that where's the next loss coming for the Chiefs? Golden mentioned the Bucs because they're the best team remaining on the schedule. The Saints obviously seem there too, but I fear more the teams that are good enough to beat you, but that you're definitively better than, as in the teams it's easier to fall asleep against, Miami, Carolina, because I think they have played down to their competition cling. They deny it, but it's pretty hard to look at the games right now and not see that their best efforts have been against the best teams.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's this week, obviously. I mean, that would be really playing
down. You have to play really down, yeah.
If you do that. But you're right, the Carolinas, even the division teams again, those types of things. Because, yeah, you're going to be the favorite the rest of the way, other than maybe that Bucs game. And who knows, you might be the favorite by the time
look
the
ahead, Saints, 3-point favorite right now.
The Saints game comes along. But yeah, those are the two most formidable teams in the back end of the schedule. So yeah, you have to avoid those traps. And again, it's manufacturing something. So figure out a way. I'd just like seeing them to be consistent and, you know, not be complacent in who they're playing. So I don't know. That's kind of a low bar. I get it. It'd be hard to kind of get motivated for it. You know, just play, well above your competition and make these games, ho-hum, matchups. It's not always that way in the NFL, but that would be my goal for this Chiefs team. Get right, get better, get consistent, and just kind of figure out a way to show a good performance in kind of cruise control.
We're talking with Chiefs sideline reporter Josh Klingler, of course, Kling from Fesco the Morning here on 610. And you brought up Bell briefly there a few minutes ago, and yeah, the motivation that he might have going up against Adam Gase again. And I'm glad Adam Gase kept his job at least for this week to play the Chiefs for the motivation. But what you saw last week from Bell against the Broncos, it was 6 carries. He had the one really nice run for 16 yards to get it started. And they didn't run the ball a whole lot to begin with. They only had 40 offensive snaps. But what I was kind of surprised by, Kling, was it was one drive was Clyde, the next drive kind of was Bell, and they went back and forth. I thought it was going to be more, it's only one game, a third down situation, Bell comes in, something like that. Were you surprised, I guess, that it seemingly they each kind of got their own drive? Do you think that continues?
Well, I don't know if that'll be a thing moving forward. I felt like it makes sense in like the first time you use him, because you want to see, you know, and you want to get him some you know, touches in a row and drives in a row, or plays in a row, I should say. So that makes sense from that regard. I guess I just don't know how it'll shake out moving forward. But yeah, it was kind of interesting. Like, here's your drive, almost like a quarterback in college or whatever, when you don't have one, right? And you play one drive, one the next drive, those types of things. I felt like that was kind of the use of him. So we'll see if it's sprinkled in within a drive or if they just wanted to get a kind of full look as much as possible at Le'Veon Bell. Still didn't get a lot of plays in, but there just weren't a lot of offensive plays in total last week. So we'll see as we move forward. I like the way I saw him run. They tried to get him a swing pass out in the flat. That was kind of broken up by a blitzing defensive lineman that did a good job. So I'd like to see them, you know, use him in the passing game a little bit and see a little more of what he has. But he certainly looked fresh and spry and something you could definitely work into Andy Reid's brain in this offense.
What, it's week 13, let's say, what's the percentage between Clyde and Le'Veon in your mind?
You know, Andy's always been kind of a hot hand guy too. So, I don't know that it necessarily have to be kind of drawn up as here's your plays, here's your plays. I mean, it might be just the hot hand. If Le'Veon Bell shows that he can handle it and not be, Shady McCoy, you could probably be closer to a split between the two. If it turns out that he can't, and the rookie
has
shown consistent play throughout. Or if say Clyde Edwards-Helaire drops off a little bit, then you may see more Le'Veon Bell. So I think, you know, Andy Reid has shown it's kind of been the hot hand in that running game. So I think it's hard to tell, you know, that far out exactly how that will be balanced. You'd love to say 50-50 and both are fresh and ready to go for the playoffs, and you have, you know, giant options to present to teams to figure out which one of them they're going to need to focus on.
Do you think here in the next week, we know the trade deadline is Tuesday coming up November 3rd, and we've seen a couple moves in the last 24 hours around the league and maybe a different sense that it could be more active just because some teams trying to clear up some space in a year with COVID and not having some of the same revenues coming through and maybe tanking also involved for the first time in a while for a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence. Do you think that we'll see more of that? And specifically, do you think the Chiefs will try to get involved a little bit and to better the roster specifically? I think a lot of people probably look at that offensive line, just some more depth needed.
I would, if I'm the Chiefs, I'd probably look at offensive line and look at defensive line as well. The rotation along the defensive line is getting a little bit thin, especially the end position. So if they could find somebody that would be in that mold, or maybe a swing person that could play inside, outside along the defensive line. I mean, on the surface, you'd say no, but then we've seen Brett Veach kind of work numbers and magic and what have you. So why would anybody rule out their intent to try to want to make some type of deal before the deadline? But those are probably the two spots I'd be looking at. Suddenly the defensive end position kind of took a hit with injuries and everything. They had a player that hadn't been active all season be activated and play last week quite a bit along the defensive line in Damone Harris. So it wasn't exactly a guy you thought was in the mix, but maybe if he plays okay, they're not going to worry about it. But I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't look at one of those two spots. And then, of course, a lot depends, too, on the Mitchell Schwartz injury, right? They know more than we do, and if it's something they think could linger, they may be looking at some offensive lineman in a trade, maybe for a low draft pick, one of those type of moves that are kind of under the radar. But I wouldn't put it past them. Why would we, based on what we saw this past offseason?
No, it doesn't seem, it doesn't seem impossible. I just feel like there might be, like, this time this year, because teams are obviously trying to save money. I see a bigger gap between the top and the bottom of the league right now, Kling. I wonder if there's just going to be more available veterans this time of year than normal from people just cutting people to try to save a few bucks.
Or if somebody out of the, just out of nowhere, throws a fit and puts their house on the market and threatens a trade.
Like Stephon Gilmore put his house on the market, so maybe he's getting ready to threaten a trade.
Yeah, gets himself dealt. So this may be the year if you want to nice stomp house, your way out. You could stomp your way out somewhere and get yourself to a good team. So, yeah, I wouldn't put it past the Chiefs, but you just got to wonder how much more financial magic can they possibly pull.
We'll be keeping an eye on that come next Tuesday. I do have to ask you before we let you go. We were having a discussion because yesterday people saw the photo and were reacting to it. It was a pizza shuttle pizza, which is something in college I had, and a lot of people had. It usually was drunk pizza, to be specific. Up in Iowa Hawkeye country, I guess, what was the place, Kling? You know, there was a place that it's 2:30 in the morning on a Friday night and everybody's been drinking a little bit. What was the place?
Yeah, mine was it was Paul Revere's Pizza. It's always a pizza place, I think.
Paul Revere's
that does not sound like a pizza.
So this was a pizza. I guess the best description of it wasn't like a calzone, but it was literally they would take what seemed like a full pizza pie and just fold it in half, and then just stuff it full of meat and cheese and whatever you decided to put inside, and it was just a giant. I swear it was just a pizza folded over with just extra pizzas stuffed in the middle of it.
God, that sounds like perfect drunk food.
5,000 calories.
I guess something to soak up that alcohol. Absolutely.
Yes, yeah, it was fantastic.
Say, everybody's got a spot. I was wondering. I figured there was something up there that in Hawkeye country and all that. Kling, appreciate it, man. We'll be listening on Sunday at noon with you, Danon, and Mitch over on 106.5 The Wolf.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Josh Klingler, of course, Fesco in the morning tomorrow, 6 a.m. to 10 with Bob Fesco and Ryan Wachowski. And then Sunday over on our sister station, Chiefs Radio Network, will be a sideline reporter for the Chiefs and Jets.
Your pregame right here on 610 and then pop over to 106.5 The Wolf for the game.
Thinking of food, did you guys see the tweet that Binks sent out about, 45 minutes ago, an hour ago?
I did.
Look, yes, it's embarrassing.
Look, you, Cody, obviously, of the show, is the baker, is the more of the foodie. Serta definitely does more
Serta
cooking than I do. I cook the
Serta
least.
Cooks a lot.
I cook the least on this show. But that photo of a quesadilla that he
wouldn't call it that
he put out there.
Maybe Bink. A tostada with the wrong kind of tortilla.
No, I mean, I'm going to teach you something, Bingley. I've made a lot of quesadillas in my life. If you're not confident in the flip, use two spatulas or one spatula and a set of tongs.
So what happened in the photo? It didn't even look like it ever got cooked, first of all. The tortilla's got a little browning on it, but it fell apart, clearly, if you look. And the cheese, it was just all on one end.
I honestly don't know what happened here.
Did he actually put it on the stovetop, or did he try to microwave it? I mean, it looks like he tried to microwave it and then dropped the plate and put it back on the plate, and that was the photo.
Is this one or two quesadillas?
You could just make it like some type of like meat, cheese, and onion roll-up, I guess, and just eat it like that, which is probably what he did.
I'm legitimately depressed looking at this photo of the quesadilla. It's
also
the saddest
thing. You gotta diversify that quesadilla. Get some peppers in there.
He put some onions.
Some jalapenos.
It looks like there's some maybe bacon. It looks like cheese.
He puts bacon and everything.
Bacon and onion, if I'm guessing.
I just quote tweet. If you're wanting to see the photo at Alex Cole, I just quote tweeted or go to @3guysinagarage. Obviously, it's rough. Look, I'm not the guy that cooks on the show. The other night, I had an embarrassing. I think I could. Quesadillas are fine. I haven't made one before. No, I haven't. But the other night, I had an embarrassing moment as well. So I was trying to just do something basic. You know, like the buttered noodles, they used to be made by Lipton, but now they're a different brand. You guys know what I'm talking about. They're cheap. Like, they're like $1.20 a package. I wasn't that hungry. I'll just do some buttered noodles. And the stove top, I was going to put a little saucepan or something on there. I didn't have a big enough saucepan because the other one was dirty in the dishwasher. I was too lazy, quite honestly,
to get
the correct size. So I knew it was going to be tricky with the water boiling. And by the time I poured in the sauce packet with the noodles, it's like 3 minutes in and the whole thing just overflows on top of the lid and all over the stovetop. And so it's hot. So then it starts to burn. It smells. And it kind of, felt like I ruined the stove, which I didn't. So I had to move it, delayed the cooking process.
Stoves are pretty hard to ruin.
And I had to go find out what I can use to actually clean the stovetop. My point being, I can't talk typically. That was a mistake because I was using the wrong equipment to make it work. But I'm convinced, yes, if you bought me the stuff right now and say, hey, Gold, here's the case of your stuff, and we had an oven and a stovetop, I should say, right?
Which we do.
I can make it happen. Yeah, I would not pull a
bank on this.
Kind of
want you to kind of prove it before we get that far.
I can make a perfect quesadilla in 5 minutes in this kitchen out here.
Jay's quesadilla.
Yes, it would not take, including the chopping. Like, it just doesn't take.
Just give
that
me
long.
Two tortillas, some butter, and some cheese, and I'll make a quesadilla right now before we go to commercial break.
There you go. Text line 913-576-7610. Jay's quesadillas look like something a 5-year-old would make at Taco Bell.
I just want to make it clear that Ruby, my daughter, who is three when she started maybe helping me in the kitchen, she last weekend flipped a pancake for me. Like, she flipped a pancake on her own. And a pancake is trickier than a quesadilla.
You know, sometimes you screw things up. Like,
oh, what happened?
You know, I made...
You dropped something.
I made tacos last week, and I sent you guys a picture of them because they were delightful-looking tacos. Well, I had a bunch of leftover pork, so I repurposed those for breakfast tacos on Sunday morning.
Didn't look as good.
Before, well, the egg and pork mixture came out fine. But I put the tortillas on a pan. I just coated the pan with olive oil to throw them in there for a few minutes, like heat them up and crisp them a little bit. I forgot about the tortillas because I was setting my fantasy lineups. And I turned the tortillas into like crackers, basically.
Yeah, that's not great. Mistakes will happen.
I still ate them. I wound up throwing most of the tortillas away, but some of them were still useful.
This is a recurring issue for Bank.
He says he's done. He says on Twitter he's completely done.
He needs to get better.
He says it's a disaster. He's done.
I can help him. He can come over. We'll do a cooking with Cody.
I think Bank and I need to take that same cooking class.
Cooking with Cody. You guys can come over, and I'll teach you some real basics.
Text line wants
us. We'll make a pan sauce. We'll flip some things.
Make one pan pasta. It's so easy. You only need one big saucepan.
I really don't think it should be a competition between us three on this, because we know like that. That's I think it should be between Bink and I. That's where the square. That's the showdown. The text line says a cooking challenge, and also they said I could have just put a wooden spoon across the top of the pot and it wouldn't have boiled over. Is that true?
Yeah.
Really? I could have done that. It wouldn't have boiled over. It wouldn't have caused a mess on the stovetop.
No, it would have. That prevents it.
Well, shoot.
Okay. It's the tricks of the trade. You learn.
There you go. There you go. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to what's trending. And also, if you missed it, Cody's got a rap out there for the Raptors to get them to come to Kansas City.
Can only help.
Did it help or did it hurt? You guys can be the judge of that coming up in about 15 minutes. I'm not so sure about that. Last night, though, you were probably watching a little bit of that World Series between the Dodgers and the Rays. We know the Dodgers are world champs. They get the win. And it's weird because, like, that's really not the story. Congrats to the Dodgers. But the story has been two things. It's been about Justin Turner after the game or during the game getting pulled because of a COVID positive test. We still don't know.
And being on the field after celebrating.
Yeah, we still don't know the whole scenario, what exactly occurred there. The other biggest story is Kevin Cash, the manager of the Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays, they make it to the World Series. They're a team that relies heavily on analytics. There is nothing wrong with that. That's part of their success, the track record of success in Tampa. By no means am I Mr. like, analytics have zero value in the sports world. No, that's not what I'm saying. But come on, analytics are useful, but you got to have a balance. Last night's an example of when you rely on it too much, though. You can't have a damn computer decide everything on a spreadsheet for you. You have to have the feel. Blake Snell was virtually unhittable last night in six innings. And they go ahead and pull him
after giving up a single.
After giving up a single, the rest is history. The Dodgers get a couple runs, and obviously the Dodgers win. And it's just so frustrating. I can't even imagine being a Rays fan today. I can't imagine being Blake Snell last night or today. That's something that you will never forget and will haunt you for the rest of your life. He also put in a pitcher that wasn't dominant himself. It'd be one thing if you make that move and you say, well, this is a guy in the bullpen that's just been killing it for us. It wasn't even that. What, Nick Anderson or Rick Anderson? Nick Anderson.
Yeah, HDH were still standing back
there. Yeah, Nick Anderson allowed one run in seven straight postseason games, which was the longest streak by a reliever in MLB history. And that's the guy they pulled Blake Snell, who was cruising for. They deserve to lose. Kevin Cash was awful last night.
Doesn't he? Like, and again, it's not about being second-guessed or whatever. You make the decision that you think is right, but this was the wrong decision. You should have thought it was the wrong decision. It hurts analytics because people are like, look at these stupid number idiots who are just looking at the third time through the order versus a guy who was absolutely dominating a very difficult Dodgers lineup. Because Mookie Betts and Corey Seager were coming up, we couldn't possibly risk the idea of Blake Snell doing it, but he was too good. When somebody is pitching at that level, the rest of this does not matter. And by the way, no one would have judged you. Only stupid people would have judged you. For bringing it, like, why did you send? Well, you know, Blake Snell gave up the lead in the sixth. Did you think about pulling him earlier? What do you mean? When he was at 75 pitches, 9 strikeouts through 3 innings, and had only given up 2 hits? One was in, like, the second inning and the other one here in the sixth? Nah, I think I'm good. I wasn't going to pull Blake Snell during that moment. The problem he has, too, by the way, is his teammates or his players weren't standing up for it. Here's I guess it's a little long, but Kevin Kiermaier and Corey Seager and those guys. Like, if you listen to Blake Snell, everyone's voice of disappointment over the fact that they pulled Snell, and everyone knew it. Even Corey Seager's like, thank God they pulled him. Dave Roberts, thank God he pulled him. We didn't see the guy all day. Mookie, woo! Couldn't get a hit. Like, I mean, it was all those things.
The Dodgers' comments are the more telling, even than Blake Snell and Kiermaier being upset of the Rays. It's when the opponent is like, thank goodness you decided to make this boneheaded move. It helped us win the World Series as the Rays go down and the Dodgers finally get over the hump there. It had been a little while of consecutive World Series and not able to get the win. Coming up in 90 seconds, Serta's got a fantasy flash heading back out to the Bay Area looking at their wide receivers and what kind of fantasy value exists for their rookie wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk. Plus, it's what's trending. And yes, Cody's got another wrap this time to get the Raptors to KC.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
All right, number one on what's trending, the World Series last night. Yes, the Dodgers get the win over the Rays to become 2020 World Champs. Congrats to them. They were the best team in the regular season. Makes sense, ultimately. But the big story has to do with, A, what we were discussing a short while ago, Kevin Cash removing Blake Snell. Then there was also one of the more bizarre moments. Hey, look, it's 2020. Anything can happen. But bizarre moments. As soon as Fox cut to the postgame, you had the announcement that Justin Turner, the reason why he was removed late in the game was because he tested positive for COVID. And I think we all maybe had the same reaction, like, what? Wait a second. How is that even possible? And it's because he played in the game, and we know that baseball hadn't had a positive test in 6 weeks, since you're like, what? What? How was he even allowed with the pending result to play? That's my biggest question. We haven't seen any news today because I'm hoping that it's a false positive. I'm hoping we get word later today, false positive, because after the game, Turner wasn't there for the dog pile and all that, but he was there for some of the post-game stuff. Yes, he was wearing a mask except for during the photo, but there's a lot of questions, and baseball has a lot of questions that need answers overall, because how did it take off of an off day on a Monday 24 hours or more to get a test? Any of us can go get a test in, should be able to find out within 24 hours, ideally, right? It's happened. I know people that have had that answer by later in the afternoon sometimes. So it makes no sense how baseball wasn't ready. To me, what happened, Cody, is baseball saw that they made it to the finish line, essentially. Yeah. We got our champion. We don't really care anymore. We got our money. The players, I think, were like, we've made it through. We don't care anymore. And that's what happened at the end as far as the post-game stuff.
Yeah, it was just comfort. Like, come on, man, Justin, come out and party with us. It's fine, pal. We're not worried about it. I hope that doesn't lead to an outbreak, but yeah, we'll see, I guess, going forward. Number two for Watch Training officially is the day where the Royals will declare multiple people free agents. Alex Gordon, obviously, even though he announced his retirement. It's not like he's officially filed the paperwork yet, but Ian Kennedy, Greg Holland, and Matt Harvey, all officially free agents as well. No qualifying offer for them. That's not surprising news, obviously, but it's official news that all three of those will be back. Jeffrey Flanagan of MLB.com reporting that the Royals do at least have some interest in bringing back Greg Holland onto the roster. He did not mention Kennedy or Harvey, so it's safe to assume that those two would not be on that list. Especially should if Harvey wants to be a starter, they got a million starters.
I mean, Harvey's a no-brainer, and then Kennedy, we kind of assumed how that was going to go overall. It's going to be interesting because, yeah, now everybody's about to be free agents and see what direction baseball goes, not just the Royals, but how this offseason is going to look. I know Dayton Moore was on with the guys in the morning, 2 weeks ago, and what's going to happen this offseason? Is you know, baseball going to be very, very conservative in terms of their spending this offseason? What does this mean for some of those veterans? It's going to, I think, be horrific for some of the veterans that typically would get paid. I think, like, Trevor Bauer is going to still get paid. He'll be one of those exceptions. But some of these other guys, I think it's going to be awfully rough, considering the money that won't be spent by some of the clubs, considering what the year they're coming off of, and also the uncertainty with the next CBA agreement with the MLB Players Association.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't think people are going to be looking to spend money on, you know, passable MLB veterans for big dollars, but I don't know. MLB's still claiming they're broke, so we'll find out.
Next up on What's Trending, Andy Reid. He spoke to the media. You heard it here during the show in the noon hour today, and mentioned a couple injury updates. So Mitchell Schwartz, Sammy Watkins not practicing today. Remember, they didn't practice all last week, did not play in the game against the Broncos. But the positive out of that is that we did not hear him mention Taco Charlton or Alex Okafor. So one would suspect that means that they hopefully will have a chance to maybe play or be eligible to play on Sunday against the Jets. Also, Armani Watts, sick, did not practice today. Officially sick.
But that means no Okafor on the list, which is nice.
Yeah, that's what I said. No Okafor,
right?
I mean,
that's good, right?
No, so Taco Charlton.
Feel good there. I mean, look, there's just no reason to get Schwartz or Watkins back before the bye week at this point. Number four for What's Trending, Wisconsin has officially shut down their team activities now with 12 total positive tests, including their head coach, Paul Christ. Obviously, we told you Graham Mertz, the local kid, had recently test positive. The Big Ten's got a policy in place where you have to wait 2 weeks after really you get these positive tests. And because they started their season so late, Gold, they have no wiggle room, which means if you're the Big 12 and won a college football playoff team, you got a better chance, because the Big 10 having so little wiggle room in their schedule means they're not going to play nearly as many games as they were hoped for, because they shut things down early, started later, and then offered no wiggle room in their schedule in order to accommodate for it. So now, because they've had positive COVID tests, they're essentially stuck behind the eight ball.
Yeah, they just had their first week in a Big 10 play. And now you have it. Some, like, Wisconsin's going to play Nebraska, as you said. And going forward, this is the line. This is the same issue that the Pac-12 could run into, because they're not going to have the wiggle room. The Pac-12 starts up here very, very soon, and they're going to run in. You know, going to run into this as well. And college sports have had to navigate this more than others, just because of how there's not a uniform structure. And, you know, the NCAA doesn't control college football, and so these conferences all have their own different policies as well.
Quick thing on What's Trending, by the way: Adam Schefter reporting that limited seating now expected at the Super Bowl this year. And then if a week 18 is added to the regular season, the week off would be eliminated between the Super Bowl.
Makes sense.
And, you know, it'd stay on February 7th.
Yeah, so you wouldn't have the typical off day and everything like that. Okay, that makes sense. Week 8's added. Off week would be immediately
if they
eliminated.
Added a week 18. They have not done that yet.
They haven't needed to yet. Let's hope
and
they don't need
seating.
To.
Do you imagine what the ticket cost is going to be?
Wow, I mean, that's already outrageous. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tampa this year.
It's going to get jacked up. There's only 15,000 seats available for it.
Yeah, we'll see where things are at come February. As we know, things change on a daily and weekly basis. But the fact that they're already talking about limited capacity tells you kind of where they think this might be headed. Lastly, on what's trending, some real troubling news out of Lawrence. So former KU basketball player Silvio DeSosa, if you remember about a week, maybe 10 days, 14 days ago, he opted out. Okay. And it said it was for personal reasons. There's a report from the Lawrence Journal World here in the last couple of hours that former Jayhawk Silvio DeSosa is soon to be charged with aggravated battery, mid-level severity felony. And the document alleges that he committed bodily harm or disfigurement to another person. An incident was reported to Lawrence police as battery around 2:30 or so in the morning back on January 1st. Yes, January 1st. This is now October 28th. We don't know any other details by that, but certainly troubling there. And, you know, the fact that he said he was leaving for personal issues back on October 16th, it makes a little bit more sense now.
Yeah, God, man.
They did a lot for this kid as a university. Certainly that's part of the why they're in trouble with the NCAA.
Yeah.
Part of it, not all of it by any means, part of it. And they defended him. He also had the issue against K-State, right? The chair over the head, the famous image, terrible image. And then now this. I understand he's not a member of the team anymore, but still the incident occurred while he was. Alleged incident, I should say, occurred while he was a member of the Jayhawks. So troubling stuff there for former KU basketball player Silvio DeSosa. And that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We'll get to Cody's Raptors pitch, how we can get the Raptors to Kansas City. Of course, an opportunity to have them play here this upcoming NBA season. The mayor of Kansas City was on the drive yesterday and was talking about that. We'll get into that in just a little bit and see if Cody's going to help the cause or not, or maybe you think he's going to
hurt
the cause.
I can only help the cause.
I don't know if that's possible, only, but we shall see. If you haven't heard it, that's coming up in just a few minutes. Earlier today, I mentioned Andy Reid gave us an update on some of the injuries and all of that, and he also was asked just about how, as a coach and as a team, do you get yourself up for an opponent like the Jets? The Jets are winless. We know that. We went through some of the numbers. They are
It's Wednesday. We haven't
horrific.
Even broken down a single part of the game.
There's no reason to, right? I mean, there really is. And like we do, we'll still give our matchup of the game and all that kind of stuff Friday, but it's like
key matchup.
The Chiefs are 19
Name
and a half
a Jets
point.
Cornerback.
Can't do that.
I don't even know if I can. I'm usually good at this.
Yesterday you guys asked. I was like, I didn't
Brian
even like
Poole.
Is that right? Do we know?
I'm guessing.
I told you I could give you
he's
like
still
five,
in the league?
Five or six Jets players, but I can't name you a corner.
Bless Austin. Never heard of him.
Brian Poole. He's a New York Jet.
Pierre Desir.
Oh, there you go. Former
Jet.
Oh,
I forgot
former
Pierre
Jet.
Desir signed there. Oh, man. What a bad offseason move.
A different Lamar Jackson. This is the age of their cornerbacks.
For no idea who any of
Bless Austin is 31. Pierre Desir is 35. Javelin Guidry, 40. Some dude named Lamar Jackson, different guy, 38. Brian Poole's 34. Quincy Wilson, 27. Those are their corners.
Yeah, Bradley McDougald, former Jayhawk in the secondary.
What
huh?
the hell? That can't be good. Wow, that's
so the Jets suck, okay?
Yeah, we get it. They're terrible.
The Jets suck. So how do you, how do you get up for this game if you're Andy Reid and the Chiefs? How do you get your team to buy into it? This was what he had to say.
I think people understand that in this league, you can't understand.
Patrick Mahomes on facing just. I apologize. We can hear from Patrick in a second. In fact, let's hear from him first on what Patrick Mahomes has to say about facing the Jets.
I think people understand that in this league, you can't overlook anybody. I mean, if you watch the tape and don't look at the record, you understand that this is a good football team. It's a team where a lot of guys are making a lot of plays, and they have a lot of guys that have made plays in other spots. And other teams. And so you understand that it's going to be a great challenge for us, and we have to go out there and play our best football if we want to win. And I think that's not an overstatement. That's just true and how this league works.
It has to be so difficult. Because especially now or never, where everybody, it's so accessible, whether it's just hop, you know, you pop on SportsCenter and hear them talking about the Jets and Adam Gase, or you just know like how bad the Jets are. How do you not let that seek in, you know, soak into your mind a little bit about how bad they are? Now, that's the challenge. I think that's honestly, if you're saying like, what's the biggest challenge for the Chiefs on Sunday? That's the challenge. It's nothing with
convincing yourself the Jets are good.
That the Jets are an opponent in the National Football League that has a chance to beat you.
How do you get in the film room and laugh? Who put together the highlight tape of 6 weeks and actually had enough plays together where the Jets looked good? Like, Spags, like, all right, here's what they're going to do on offensively that could cause us trouble. Like, Spags, you just showed us like 8 plays. Aren't these meetings usually like 90 minutes? He's like, just worry about the 8 plays. All right, look, this is when they were successful on offense.
Yeah.
Like, that's the point. Like, it is hard. It is hard to get up for those games. Not just the Chiefs' fault. I mean, when a team is that bad. And I do mean bad. Listen to the people I just listed you on the roster. When you go back and look at this roster, like we went back earlier and we were talking about how the 2008 Chiefs would beat this year's Jets team. At least there were players on there who you will remember having NFL careers. We'll remember Pierre Desir had an NFL career.
We sure? I mean, we say it now. It's still too
I think if you were a Jets fan, if you were around the league, Quinnen Williams maybe, right? Because he was a first-round pick.
It's too early.
Sam Darnold, perhaps.
Yes, we'll remember Sam Darnold one way or the other.
We'll remember having a career, right? But then the list after that is almost, I mean, Flacco, but I mean, the list after that and Frank Gore is nearly non-existent. I think you just got to pitch this idea that, like Kling said, you lost at home to there, or just let Le'Veon drive it. Like, Le'Veon, you want to get this whole team? You want us to beat the hell out of your old team for you, Le'Veon? Like the kid who was getting picked on at school and then shows up with his three big brothers. Yeah, let's teach this kid a lesson, Le'Veon. We got you, pal. We're going to beat this team up just because they were wrong to you for being a horrible team.
Yeah, I mean, he'll have
that
no issue.
That seems to be the only motivation.
He'll have
for
no
me.
Issue getting motivated, and maybe that helps motivate the rest of the guys a little bit with if Bell's extra fired up for this game because of his history there getting cut. I mean, he got cut in the National Football League by the Jets, but we all know that it was a Jets problem, not a Le'Veon Bell problem whatsoever. So, yeah, I mean, that's the biggest challenge, just getting up for an opponent like that, not letting them have any sense that they have a chance to win. Like, right away, first quarter, get up on them, just bury them, let them know that they suck, remind them that they suck very early on in that football game, and you'll be fine. It'll be easy. And how much Bell are we going to see? How much Clyde are we going to see? What's that game plan look like? Is it going to be an even split? Is it going to be the one drive is on for you, one drive is on for the other? We heard the Thunder and Lightning comparison from EB last week about the two, and Travis Kelce was even asked about that today on Clyde and Bell. Here's what he had to say.
I was just trying to differentiate the two, man. They're both kind of got the dual threat Thunder and Lightning package, man, and it's just the ultimate weather storm out there. And with the different types of runs that we have built in for them both, you know, they can give you that 1-2 punch, or they can give you Thunder or Lightning, whichever one you want on that play. And it's just to have a two-headed monster back there, and then you throw in D. Williams, Daryl, and Andre. You know, you throw all those guys in there, and we got one heck of a running back room. And you know, as a blocker, that gets you excited, man. You got somebody that can take it to the house any point in the game, man. You want to make sure that you get your guy that much more.
Kelce's had to block a little bit more as of late too, with Anthony Sherman doing, which we still haven't got an update on that, by the way. Like, he was on the COVID
list. Told
you,
man, with this, the Zoom stuff, it makes housekeeping questions from reporters lot more difficult.
It's been
to
two
do.
Games already. Yeah, right? It was the Bills and the mm-hmm. Broncos, and nobody, and he's not mentioned. It's kind of weird. Is Sherman playing this week?
Is he feeling okay?
Don't it's know. Just kind of bizarre, and obviously Kelce has done a nice job when he's
wasn't
needed,
listed on the injury report.
Yeah, right, that's what I mean. So, and it's a separate list. Is he still on this COVID reserve list deal?
Anyway, haven't heard that he's off it.
You know, they'll be fine without him for the Jets game, but I would like to get Anthony Sherman back, as soon as possible. Hopefully, that is the case as well. Andy Reid was also asked about the Toronto Raptors because you've got a rap that you made. We're going to hear in just a second for the Chiefs, the Kansas City pitch.
Text line is clearly just asking for it to be heard.
No. It's been the opposite. It's actually been quite the opposite. There are multiple texts.
A lot of people
that
are just asking
say,
for us to never play it again.
Please don't play that rap.
Really? Why?
Ever again.
Was it that bad? I thought this was one of my better raps, Serta.
It was more technically sound, but it wasn't.
So that should qualify as one of my better raps.
But it seemed like it was worse. We're going to play it for people. Let
what
the people decide
my
again.
Most popular one?
Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Patrick. And that probably has been my most popular.
But Andy,
I don't think that was my biggest hit, though.
This one's been pretty popular, I would say.
Yeah, I don't think this is one that's
doing all right on Twitter.
It's not doing great, but it's doing okay. It's getting attention. Wasn't that the point?
Yes.
We've added the Raptors. We've added Quentin Lucas, who has not responded. I'm a little offended. I have added Drake, thanking him again. I texted him, too. Thanked him for his participation. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, first, let's hear what Andy had to say about his pitch. Maybe his is stronger than your pitch.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a phenomenal sports town, I guess. Herbie is what I'd tell him. And not that Toronto's not. I'm not saying that. They're good people up in Toronto, too. So, but I believe we'd love to have you. And let's go. Let's roll. No better sports place than right here.
You got Andy with the pitch. You got Mahomes pitching the Raptors to KC. And apparently we also have Cody Tabb with a new rap to debut. The Raptor pitch from one Cody Tabb. If you guys missed it, it does feature one Drake, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, we're pals.
Here it is.
Cody Tapp, and I'm back to rap about the biggest thing since the Chiefs pick. We want the Raptors in KC, and they need our help to make sure that it's a guarantee. All you gotta do is listen to me. You gotta get in the routine of making poutine. You need to get a Tim Hortons maple donut with cream, or go buy some Raptors gear and show them the green. You don't just have to listen to me. Just listen to my friend Jimmy from the hit show Degrassi.
I tell you, I'm the man, baby. What is the confusion? And if they still sleeping on me, someone hit the snooze then and keep sleeping while I sell a couple million. I'm headed for the moon. I ain't about to hit the ceiling.
Listen to Drake and you will see. We'll get the Raptors right here in KC. We can do it, Kansas City. Listen to my man Drake. Let's go get the Raptors here. The better city than Louisville anyway. Raptors 2KC.
I got like half an album now. This is your fifth. I think this is your fifth rap. I didn't like this one. I actually
text line 913-576-7610. Which one's your favorite?
I did not like this one.
I think you didn't like it because it wasn't as silly. It was more technically proficient.
It was. I didn't like it. I think this hurt. I think this just hurt KC's bid.
Oh,
I think it hurt KC's bid to get the Raptors to Kansas City.
Do you think it'll get the one that gets stuck in your head the most is still "Happy Birthday, Patrick"? Yeah. Yes, that one's still the one that's gonna like cling to you forever. But I wanted to include some. Serta gave me a beat, which was a good beat, I thought.
Someone says it's that. By the way, this beat is a terrible ripoff of Still the Dre.
Oh, next episode?
I don't know.
I think he's talking about next episode. A favorite.
It's the reviews are not good for you. The text line reviews are not good whatsoever.
Well, whatever.
There's a few more. Now they're coming in more positive.
See?
Did you finally? Now your friends are texting.
Finally, redemption.
Someone says, I literally almost ran over an old lady crossing the street because I was trying to change the channel when that rap came on. Let's get Bell and Breland to do a rap now. Good. They can't be any worse than you. I don't think Patrick Mahomes would approve. He says, Cody sounds like the 60-year-old pastor standing up in church rapping about how Jesus is cool. That's from the text line as well. And someone says, please stop this now. There you go. That's a couple of them. There's plenty more.
So what you're saying is you want more raps.
I didn't like this one. That's what I'm saying. Like, we all want the Raptors to KC. And if I find out that you hurt the chances, because we're going to have some major issues here.
I think you need more collabs.
Yeah,
like there needs to be.
I like
more
how you got Drake involved.
Drake involved was good.
The fact that you got Drake to partake is pretty impressive.
I will try to get Tech N9ne or Mac Lethal for the next one. How does that sound? Like a real back and forth situation, and maybe someone will write the lyrics for me.
I think that Tech N9ne actually needs to do a legitimate rap here to make sure they know that you don't represent Kansas City's rap scene.
No, that's not it. I'm not the sole representative.
We need to make sure.
We need to make sure
Tech N9ne is out there. We need to make sure he actually gets the official pitch.
Ugh, man. Real disappointment.
Cody's rap sounds just like the rap in the first Revenge of the Nerds movie.
Let's get to the final word.
The final word.
That might as well have been it, huh?
Probably.
My goodness. Man.
I was trying to look for that drop of happy birthday, Patrick.
Oh,
I couldn't find it in the system. We're sorry we forgot a present. Even with
happy birthday, Patrick Mahomes. Happy birthday.
That was such a good
Patrick.
One.
Patrick.
I miss it.
Happy birthday, Patrick.
Well, let me know what my next rap should be about. Text line 913-576-7610. Your hate will not. You might as well choose the subject matter because it won't stop me.
We do need to open up the snitch line again. So you already have a snitch
tomorrow,
line.
Tomorrow, snitch line is back tomorrow, by the way. We'll tweet out on our at Cody B. Tap, at Alex Gold, yes. At Steven Sertl. We'll give you that voicemail line. If you want to snitch, got some complaints towards Cody's rap, whatever it is, we'll have it for you tomorrow. We're back tomorrow from 10 to 2. Tershawn Wharton, Chiefs rookie defensive lineman, will join us exclusively tomorrow at 10:30. But for now, we hand it off to Carrington and Sean on the drive.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.